And but let me tell you, adulting for me was not an easy thing. And the reason why, because I had to go to school. I had to listen to my parents and do things like that. But when I was born in the country of Belarus. Belarus used to be part of USSR until it broke in different countries. And while I was in Belarus, I was born in capital city Minsk, as you can see right over there. When I was born there, I went to church every week. I went to school. My parents put me in a music school so I can learn how to play violin. This is where I have grown with my first true friends from neighborhood. And then my parents, after 9 years, have decided that we need to move to Moscow, Russia. And as you can see, Russia is a little bigger than Belarus. Russia's in green and Belarus is in red. And when we moved to Moscow, Russia, it was new for me. As a little boy, it was the first time going somewhere far away. Here is where I learned new things. I had to go to school again. They put me in school and new friends. But to be honest with you, I did not like school. I was very polite. I was nice with teachers. But when it came to homework, I don't think I ever done homework properly when I was in Russia. And in order for me to pass my classes, I had to copy somebody else's work. Oh, yes. It's not good. Don't do that. It's bad. It is hard to become an adult. And the reason why is because, especially nowadays, there are so many distractions. There's less self-control. There are things that we should be doing. We're not doing them. It is difficult to become an adult. But then, when I was growing up, there was a certain time in my life when I questioned my beliefs. Do you guys have that? Did you have that moment in your life when you ask your question, why am I a Seventh-day Adventist? Why am I a Christian? Or if you are not born a Christian, you would ask yourself a question, is God real? Is he there for me? Have you had that question before? Well, I did. And so when I had that question, the older I got, I have realized that just because I was born a Christian, it doesn't make me a Christian. But if being a Christian, going once a week to church, listening to sermons and be obedient, then I have been a Christian all my life. But for me, Christian is number one, is the one who is a follower of Jesus. It is the one who has a relationship with Jesus. Like I have a relationship with my parents, with my brothers, my friends. Well, that's my relationship with him. It is the one who doesn't just read the Bible, but believes in it and does accordingly. It is the one whose life, because of what they have been learning, have been transformed, and it influences other people's lives. And so honestly, for me, what I see, it is an honor and a privilege to be a Christian. And so, but when I was younger, I thought that I was never good enough to make a difference in somebody else's life. So in order for me to be good, I have to be perfect. And I've been trying to be that since then, and it still doesn't work to be perfect. Because you can be perfect, because Jesus is only perfect. And so but I was trying, and I didn't get it. I've been going to church every week, but it was not enough for me. So when I read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, if you can open that with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. For it says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I will delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak is when I'm strong. For when I'm weak is when I'm strong.'" It is in my weaknesses where he's strong. But what does that mean? When my neighbor was dying with cancer, where was that power? When my friend's mother passed away without him being able to say goodbye, where was that power? When I was a little kid, I loved going to my grandma's house, because she always gave me candy. She gave me some money so I can buy some things that I liked. But I will never forget this. She told me that. She comes to me and looks straight in my eyes and tells me, "Ivan, you're the most beautiful boy I have ever seen." It melted my heart, and I still haven't forgot that. When we have received a phone call saying that my grandma passed away before her time, where was God's power? I wasn't crying. I was a little man. I can't cry in front of everybody. But that night when I went to bed, I was sobbing entire night, because I'll never see my grandma on this earth again. My little brain couldn't comprehend it, you know? And so one day I come back from school. And I loved coming back from school because I didn't like school. Because that was my time with my video games and TV. I was really good with that. And something that I didn't know is that where I spend the most of my time at, where my money goes, and what I enjoy the most, is what I value the most. So for me, my value was in the video games. And so I came back home, and I sat on my chair, and it was a nice, comfortable chair. And I look at my computer, and then the knock, and then the door. And my dad walks in. Let me tell you what, if you've done something wrong, oh my goodness, you had to hide from my dad. I was like, oh no. So when he walked in and he tells me, "I have to have a talk with you," I thought that my time has come. I was like, what did I do? Or what didn't I do? So we sat down and we start talking. He tells me, "Ivan, I have a friend whose son goes to school in the United States. And they're looking for students your age. Would you like to go?" And I said, "Oh, that's what you came here for." Okay. In my head, I said that. But to him, I said, "Yes, of course. I would love to go." So it took me 1 year to prepare to go to the United States. During that time, there was an evangelist who came to Russia. I don't know if you guys know him. His name is Mark Finley. Yeah. And this evangelist was giving the evangelic series. I was on my computer. My parents dragged me from the computer to go listen to him. I believed in the Bible. I knew Jesus was real. But when I was listening to him, something about his message was so, like, feeding me. That I was like, yes, this is awesome. So before I was flying out to the United States, I have decided to get baptized. And so I got baptized not because of my parents told me to do. I didn't baptize for my members of the church. I have baptized because I realized that I love Jesus too much. And I wanted him to be with me for the rest of my life. So I wanted to make it official. I got baptized. The end of the summer, 3 days before I had to fly out to the United States, my parents and I, we drove to Belarus because this is where I had to go to the embassy. Got there, I was interviewed, and they gave me a visa. 3 days, I packed, and I was ready to go. But before after I left, they told me that the embassy shut down. So if that would have happened right before my interviews, I probably wouldn't even be here. But thank the Lord, as you can see, I'm here. I made it here. I came to Laurelwood Academy. This is the academy that has taught me so many things. But something about me, when I was flying to the United States, there are a few things that I didn't know. I did not know anybody in America. I didn't know anything about the culture. I didn't speak English. And the only words that I did know, it was monkey, chicken, and banana. And with those three words, I had to survive first couple of weeks. Are you hungry? Chicken. I was like, that's what it was. So I came to Laurelwood Academy. They taught me English, finally. They taught me English. Here's where I have learned how to work hard. I have realized that this is a country of opportunities. And if you really want to get it, and you work hard, you can get it. The biggest lie that I've heard is that when it is a nice place, there's a lot of nice things. And if you go to that place, you will have all those nice things. That is the biggest lie. Because no matter where you go, you have to work hard for it. So I got opportunities to go on mission trips. I was able to go to Nicaragua, El Salvador, Honduras, Costa Rica. I was able to go to Hawaii for a mission trip as a choir, where we gave 23 concerts in 21 days. So things like this have been speaking to me. I wasn't sure why yet. My last year, I was able to go to Pacific Union College as a mission trip. Because I was working so hard, I raised too much money. Big problem to have, right? So they sent me there. And as I was in high school, my last year, people kept coming and telling me, Ivan, you should become a pastor. I looked back at them and told them, never. Everybody in my family were involved in ministry, pastoral ministry, things like that. But I saw how difficult it is to be a pastor, because pastors need to know every answer to every question. And I thought to myself, I am not capable to do that. And so I looked back at them and told them, that's a very nice joke, because I'm not doing that. And so I really wanted to go to college. I prayed to God and saying, please lead me somewhere. I want to go. And what I did, I didn't just pray, but I wanted to do something about it as well. Prayer leads you to do something. And so I applied from 10 to 13 different universities. I wrote letters to McDonald's and different celebrities so that they would sponsor me. It didn't happen, but at least I tried. And then Pacific Union College came back to me saying, we're giving you scholarships. I was like, yes, I can't even imagine that I'm able to graduate high school. And here I'm going to college? That was just, wow, mind-blowing for me, honestly. Here we go. So before my high school and college, I was able to see in my entire family a general conference session in Atlanta, Georgia. For those who don't know what general conference is when the world leaders of our Seventh-day Adventist Church, they come together once in 5 years. And so my family was able to come over there. So I have three brothers, a beautiful mother, and a strong father. And so they came all to visit me. And we haven't been together in our home in Moscow for maybe 14, 15 years. So hopefully one day that'll happen. But then I came to Pacific Union College. Different experience for me, different view of life. Because no matter where you go, what you value is what you want to do. My value was in doing something. I saw so many things that where I could have made an input. So I decided to get involved in leadership as well. My mistake was, even though I was a workaholic, since I got a lot of scholarships, I have told myself, you know what? I'm not going to work the first year. I'm going to be fine. No matter how much money you have, you always need to work. That's the lesson I've learned. And so I didn't work. When Christmas time came, I went to Oregon and I was helping somebody taking the paint off from the container. So I was kneeling all day like this. At the end of the day, my knee was hurting really bad. Okay, I went back to school. It was better. But then I started working out. And as I was working out, I realized that my knee was getting worse and worse. I was like, what is going on? But I need to work out. So I was very stubborn. And I kept working out to the point that I couldn't walk anymore. Wisdom, where was my wisdom? But I couldn't walk. But then a thing after thing after thing started hitting me hard. I have realized that Pacific Union College, I was owing them about $2,000 to $4,000. I didn't have a job. I can't walk. It was coming closer to the end of the year. There was no jobs available. I lost all of my money. I borrowed somebody else's money. Ugh. Never do that. And if you give your money to somebody else, give it as you will never return. Like it will never come back to you. but I did that, and literally I had nothing. I had no one to run to. This is where a turning point for me in my life. I ran to my room. I walked to my room. I shut the door. I jumped on my bed. And I have prayed like I've never prayed before. Not an empty prayer, Jesus, dear Jesus, be with me as I eat this food, amen. It wasn't that. It was, God, where are you? I need you. And I told him, God, forgive me for what I've done. But I want to be with you for the rest of my life. I have asked him, can you please be with me from the very morning to the very end of the day as I am conscious, and be with me during the night? And that is what I did for the next 3 months. I wish I could tell you that the moment I finished praying, things went perfectly fine. But it doesn't work like that, does it? It doesn't work like that. So I've been working hard, trying to earn every dollar back because I was a slave. When you own money to somebody, you're a slave to that person. So that's what I was. So I kept working hard. I kept praying hard. I was asking God, please heal my knee. And with the time, has been putting me back on my feet. Eventually, to the point that I was fine. That summer, and what I want to tell you with that, there are two things when you do if you get down. Two choices. Choice number one, just lay down there. Just stay there. Just give up. Don't do anything. That's an easy thing, right? Choice number two, keep getting up. Keep getting up. Keep getting up. That's what kept getting me up. If you want to improve yourself, if you want to be spiritually fed, if you want to do something, whatever that thing is, keep getting up and keep fighting for it. And so that summer came. I was feeling better. I kept working hard. And then in Oregon, where I lived, there's a school that moved into my area. And the name of the school is Arise. And in that school, it's a Bible school. So they have been teaching the entire community. And as I was working hard, I will never skip a work, day work. I would just keep working hard. But because I saw how it was influencing everybody else in the community, I was like, I have to skip at least one day. So I skipped it. I went to those classes. I sat down. And the passion that the teachers had towards scripture, it's kind of like they took it and gave it to me. And I didn't even do anything. I was just sitting there. Same night, in my house, I went to talk to God. What are you trying to tell me, God? Am I supposed to be a pastor? Am I supposed to be in ministry or something like that? I'm like, no, I'm not supposed to, no. So I gave God a year. I told him, I'll give you a year so that you can show me where you want me to go. That summer, I was so sick and tired of working that I bought my plane ticket back to Russia. Said, I'm done. First of all, PUC was not giving me scholarships again. I said, I'm going back from what I have experienced. And the same week, I was going to fly away, but then I get a letter from PUC saying, you're getting more scholarships. I'm like, okay. So I took it as a call from God. So I stayed second year at PUC. I tried everything from photography, from being a physical therapist assistant, from nursing. And you know what I have realized? I'm too much of the extrovert to be doing things like that. And I was like, oh, it's too much. And so I have decided to switch to theology. But when I switched to theology, it was just like a peace coming onto my soul. I've been running away what I have been meant to do. And I feel like God is talking to every single one of us today, whichever ministry that is, working at the mill, working in some business, that is a ministry. My calling was in this direction. So I said, okay, I'm going to take that, God. For 3 years, three more years, I stayed at PUC. The conferences from our union came to interview me. And for those who don't know what conferences is, it's basically leaders of California, Nevada, Utah, and Arizona from our church come to our university to interview for people to become pastors. I thought I had no chance. And I went on interviews promoting other students. You should hire him. But they hired me. I was like, what? I couldn't believe myself. And so Southeastern California Conference has decided to invest in me. And they sponsored me to the seminary at Andrews University. Amen. And let me tell you what, no matter which school you go, the devil is going to attack you there. Knowledge-wise, things you do, anything. But when you come to the scripture, when Jesus was on this earth, his answers were scripture. So if it's not there, then something else. And so after 20 years of being in school, who can imagine that I've been getting all those degrees? That I'm finally here in Fallbrook Seventh-day and the Adventist Church. First time. But let me tell you what, degrees is not to make me higher or better. Degrees are there so I need help. That's how I look at it. It just was all this, you know, work that I needed to know. And so, oh, that's a picture of PUC. God's strength and power show themselves most in your weakness. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weaknesses. Therefore, I will delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. And that's why I'm here today. Not because I had a nice road and God told me you're my favorite and he brought me here. It doesn't work like that. Every single one of you means everything to God. And if you work hard, God honors it. If you work hard, if you follow his word, he honors it. Things don't just come your way. And that's what I have realized. And so when I was in my darkness, when I was there, but nobody was there for me, is where God says, I was right next to you. When your grandma passed away, I was right next to you. Because at first, sin should not be there. It is not God that kills. Sin is that kills. The reason why we have the Bible is because the Bible is being given to us saying, hey, this is for you so you can be careful. Not to tell you do this so you can be saved. No, God is communicating with us saying, I'm giving you the scriptures because I love you so very much. I don't know if you heard this verse before. It's John 3:16, verse 17. But I have memorized this verse so well that I even forgot the meaning of it. And so when I read this verse, when it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave, and he gave." What did he give? He gave his everything. He gave his only son that what? Whosoever does what? Pastor Sam, what does it mean who that everybody in this room has a chance? Everybody? That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have an everlasting life. I have heard many theories about this is how things were created, things like that. But theories. There's nothing better message I've heard than this, that I have an everlasting life. I will see my grandma again. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Question is for you. Do you believe? Jesus gave it all. How much are you and I willing to give? And just because I'm giving today doesn't mean that tomorrow is going to come automatically. I fight on a daily basis. My journey has just begun. And I'm thankful that it began here in Fallbrook Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm looking forward to working with all of you, with you. And so, do you believe? How much are you willing to give? Because he has given it all. Amen.